If you were here for my first sermon several weeks ago, you would be well aware of the fact that I went to Clemson. What many of you won't know is I went to Clemson as a horticulture major. It was the easiest one to get into, or at least so I thought, and I was desperate to get into Clemson, so I tried everything and went for horticulture. And quickly I realized that biology and chemistry were not my areas of giftedness, so I transferred over to the business school at Clemson. And my last semester there, I was looking for an easy A, just trying to finish up school, and horticulture caught my eye one more time. There was a class called Vines, Wines, and Brews. And I thought, this is something I could get behind. I'm assuming all this is tasting beer and wine and writing about it and getting an easy A. And while I did get to taste some beer and wine, which we had a spit cup to empty it out in every time, most of our class was actually spent on the soil and the root structures of barley and hops and grapes. Because each one of those things, the soil changes how it's produced and what sort of fruit comes from it. So I did get an A. I did get to taste some beer and wine, but I learned a whole lot more about root structures than I ever wanted to know, and I've forgotten almost all of it. But today we're going to go back to this soil idea and look at the scripture as Christ talks about soil. Now, he speaks of four different types of soil, three of which are bad kinds of soil, one of which is a good kind of soil. He spends a lot more time on the bad than the good. I'll try to be equal, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull that off. It's going to be a lot more on the bad, I hate to tell you. But there are there's some dangers that we need to be aware of in our own hearts, in the soil of our own hearts, that we should pay attention to from this text. So now, what are these four soils? Well, the first one we hear about is the hardened soil, the path that's been walked along. And that soil is hard, packed down, and nothing can be planted in it. The second one is the rocky soil. It's rocky. There's nothing else to it, but it's rocky. The third soil seems to be good, yet thorns and thistles grow there. And then we have our good soil. Now, this first kind of soil, a danger that we should be aware of how our hearts can be like this hardened soil. There are two things in our lives that tend to bring about a hardness of heart. One is pride, and the other is bitterness. In pride, we find ourselves not in need of anyone else. So we think everything's going well. There's no need for help. When trials come, well, we can just figure it out all on our own. The whole, I can do it all by myself mentality, which I'm sure some of you either have or have had or know maybe children who have or have had that. But there's a pride about being able to do things all by oneself. Our hearts are hardened. We don't see a need of a Savior or for the gospel because we can do it all by ourselves. The other is this bitterness. People who've had hard lives. Things never seem to go their way. They always get the bad end of the stick. And they think, what can God do for me? How could he love me? He hasn't ever loved me now. Up to this point, why should I listen to him? And when the seeds of the gospel fall upon this hard soil, it falls upon a deaf ear and a hardened heart, and the gospel doesn't take root. Instead, the evil one comes and lies, saying, you can do it all by yourself. You're right. Just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You don't need any help. This ends up being a danger of this first kind of soil, this bitterness, this pride in our own hearts. Now, the second soil, the rocky soil, well, there is no place for the good news to take root. There's this joy that springs up in hearing the gospel, but when trials come, it withers up and dies because it has no place to set its root. This is a person who recognizes their own brokenness and their need of a Savior. They recognize it, yet they want only good things. It's what we call the prosperity gospel. They only want the good times. Jesus is just supposed to bring the good times. I shouldn't have to endure any sort of trial or tribulation if I'm following Christ. Yet the truth of the matter is, in following Christ, we will face trials and tribulations. Yet if your heart is that of rocky soil, while you will desire Christ and have joy in the good times, when tribulations come, you turn back to other things to try to find hope and help rather than turning to Christ. Now this third soil, which looks good, it's got all the things necessary for their gospel to take root and to grow. Yet there's thorns. Many of us have thorns in our lives. Things that distract us from the gospel. While we want it to be true and while we hold on to it, the world comes and distracts us. Our eyes are taken off of the things of God and placed upon the things of this world. The danger in this third type of soil is worldliness. The fact that the world distracts and the desires of what people want us to be, social status, wealth, distract us from following Christ. And so when those things come up against the gospel, we turn to worldliness rather than to godliness. They're distractions, and we have all had these issues in our lives at some point in time. Whether your heart has been hardened with pride and bitterness, whether you have sought the prosperity of being a follower of Christ and not Christ himself, whether you have sought the world rather than seeking Christ. We've all done these things, and our hearts have been in either stages of hardened earth, rocky soil, or thorny soil. But those who follow Christ, the desire is to have a heart that's full of good soil. So I've spent enough time putting us down for having bad soil. And the question is what is this good soil look like? What does it need to have good soil? Well, it needs to be rich and full of nutrients. It needs to be well plowed to be ready to receive the gospel. So the first thing that we need to do to get our hearts plowed, the soul plowed and ready, is we need to admit to our sinfulness and our brokenness. This is the way it often goes. We know that we've all sinned and messed up, and we end up saying, well, you know, that's just the way I was created. Or maybe we try and blame it on Adam and Eve. Say, oh, that's the way the world is. And we continue to do the sin that we like and say, you know, the world's just that way. But the one that I think we most often do is we're stuck in sin, and we look at our neighbor. You know who it is. It's John or Sally, whoever your friend is. And you say, well, I'm not as bad as she is or he is. My sin isn't quite as bad as them. So we try to justify ourselves rather than admitting our own sinfulness. So to have good soil, we need to confess our sins, admit to the fact that we're broken and in need of this seed of the gospel. Christ isn't standing with a big stick in heaven to beat you because you're a sinner. Instead, God sends his son to die on a cross because he loves you. That's what he does to sin. He loves you and he dies for it because it does deserve punishment, yet he willingly takes it for us. So go to him. Get your hearts plowed. Go to him and confess your sin. And now that the soil is all plowed up, we need those nutrients. We need that nutrient-filled soil in order for the seed of the gospel to take root. And I would like to propose to you that some of these nutrients are this. They are God's Word, His Holy Scripture, prayer, fellowship with other believers, and worship, coming together with one another to praise Him. In the reading of the Scriptures, we learn of the truths of God, that He has been with us from the beginning of time, that He promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We hear of His great love and mercy and grace. And in knowing these things in the midst of trial and tribulation, we can hold fast to the truths that are found in Scripture. And we won't be like the seeds on the path that have been blown away. And we won't be like the ones that got scorched by the heat, because we can stand firm in the truths found in His Word. Another nutrient is prayer. In calling upon Christ and asking Him to find those thorns, the ones that we know and the ones that we don't know, and to uproot them, to pull them out. Now, we cannot do this out of our own strength, but if we go to the Lord in prayer and call upon Him and ask Him to help, He will come. It may not look the way you want it to, but He will come and He'll help to get rid of those thorns and thistles, that the ground may be good soil. Then there's fellowship and worship with one another, that we can come alongside of one another and encourage each other, that we can share in each other's struggles and burdens, that when hard times come, we can share truths of the gospel with one another. And in being in that sort of fellowship and relationship, the nutrients of the soil of our hearts will continue to grow, that we may be prepared for this seed of the gospel. With good soil, we hear the promise at the end of this text, which is that for those who have good soil and the seed is planted, it will grow and it will produce 100-fold and 60-fold and even 30-fold. This is a promise that if the seed of the gospel is planted in your heart, you will produce fruit. Now, we thankfully have more scripture to give us a little idea of what this fruit looks like. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we read this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Now, I don't know about all of you, but a couple of these I can muster up out of my own strength, or at least I think I can. I can find myself to be joyful at times, and I can even find myself to be kind to others at times. Yet, patience. Well, you know, sometimes maybe I don't have the best of patience. And normally I find that when I don't have good patience, I'm not filled with joy. I'm more frustrated than anything else. So the promise is that you, with good soil, with a seed planted, will produce all of the fruit. Not some of the fruit, because some of the fruit we do, but all of the fruit is what He does. So as He gives us more patience, we also can have more joy, because we can have joy in times that normally we've been frustrated in. When He fills us with the ability to have kindness towards somebody, then we can love someone who we thought was unlovable. But it is only because of the work of God that we are able to produce these fruits of the Spirit. Now, some may tell you at the end of this text that we're also called to be the sowers of the seed, to throw them out. And I would tell you that while that's true, we should go out to all nations. I think this text is pointing directly to the fact that God's the sower. But it points to us as the one who produces fruit. And for us to go to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, our going is found in this fruit that is being produced because of the gospel that is growing in our hearts. this fruit goes before us. We're able to love people that are unlovable. We're able to be kind in situations that are hard and be patient and have joy. And in doing this, people see something that's different than the rest of the world. And it provides opportunities to share the gospel, to be able to tell people, where does this fruit come from? Because it is not out of our own strength, but out of the love and mercy of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So for us today, think of what kind of soil you are. You may be a hardened path right now, and you may be rocky. You may have some thorns in there. Notice it. Admit to it. Confess that to the Lord and pray that He would come and help you. Seek Him in the Scriptures, that you can hold fast to His truths. Pray, asking Him to help you to become good soil. For those of you who are in the position of good soil right now, go and produce fruit. Be joyful in the Lord. Hold fast to Him and His truths, that the Lord would continue to produce fruit, that you would be able to go out to all the worlds proclaiming this gospel. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for the opportunity to gather together in worship and fellowship, that we may be able to point one another to You. Convict us of our sin and lead us into righteousness in Your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, that while we were sinners, He died for us, that we may have new life. Help our hearts to become good soil, that the fruits of the Spirit may be produced abundantly, that Your gospel may be known, and that You may receive all the praise and honor and glory that You rightly deserve. We pray all this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.